We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. A little breezy. Southwest winds 23 miles an hour, gusting up to 30. We are under a fire weather watch, so please don't start no fires today, actually through the whole weekend, because it's going to be breezy today, tomorrow night, and we got a chance of some rain come Sunday, but I'll go over that with you here coming up in the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Let's check out the fire map. There it is. So, fire advisories for the state of Oklahoma. Cimarron, Texas is under a red flag warning, and that's counties up there in the panhandle of Oklahoma and parts of the northern panhandle. The eastern panhandle of Texas that borders along Oklahoma and most of everything west of I-35 in Oklahoma is under a fire weather watch. So the humidity's up a little bit. It's around 55%, but still, you guys seen what happened yesterday out there along I-40. Chains, I heard, I understand, not a fact, but I didn't fact check it. But chains dragging along I-40 started that fire out there on some of that land right there south of Potter Trailer Park. And it was a big fire because that was all CRP ground in there. So it exploded pretty quick and burned up fast. So anyway, that's what we got going there. Well, I'm sure everybody's keeping up with the markets, but it is crazy. Start out with live cattle. Live cattle's down. Feeder cattle are down. Lean hogs are all down. All your cattle and hogs are down. April live cattle, 136.52. June live cattle, 133.30. August live cattle, 134.87. Live cattle in October, 142.25. Feeder cattle for March, 152.60. Feeder cattle for April, 157.42. Lean hogs, April, 101.52. Lean hogs for May, 106.45. And lean hogs for June, 112.02. And cotton is, man, just a little bit from 120, 119.80 per pound is what's happening on there. And it looks like crude oil, it looks like oil has gone up again today. Let's check out the grain market. I thought I had it up. Maybe I misread. Anyway, here we go. Looks like wheat's come down a little bit from what it was this morning. It is somewhere around 1085. That can't be right. Let me bear with me here. Let's go to Lone Wolf here. If it'll come up. Anyway, wheat's around 1085 according to most of them. So it's either come down or something on cash grain prices. So we got that going on. Corn was right at 740 something. Milo was at 740. 54 and soybeans there finally come up. Here we go. All right, yeah, I guess wheat is down. Let me go to Lone Wolf because that's the closest ones that reports on this system that I got here. Bear with me here a second. I'm getting there. Ain't got nothing else to do but wait on Jimmy Clark. Uh-oh, I got a text. Oh, maybe he's saving me. There we go. Lone Wolf. Wheat currently is at 1067. Thank you, sir. And good to go. And then corn's right at 694. Milo's at 689. Soybeans around 1565. All kinds of stuff going on. The market's going all over the place with this Russian deal going on. Wheat futures jumped the most allowed on the Chicago Board of Trade overnight as Russia attacks on Ukraine continue to intensify. Russian troops have attacked several cities, including Kharkiv, or however you say that. That's the second largest city in Ukraine. They attacked a nuclear power plant last night, which everything's cool there. They didn't get into the good stuff. But the U.S. Embassy said on social media that it's war on crime to attack. It's a war crime to attack a nuclear power plant. We all know that, but Russia doesn't care. They don't go by the rules. The ongoing Russia attack on Ukraine is disrupting shipments of products, including wheat, out of both countries. Russia is the world's largest exporter of grain, while Ukraine is number three, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Australia is the second biggest, and, of course, the United States is the fourth. That's what we get for showing people how to grow crops. Anyway, ports in Ukraine are shut in, with several cities being attacked by Russian forces, and Russian products are being shown globally. Wheat for May delivery jumped 75 cents to $12.09 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures were up 75 cents to $12.25 a bushel. Futures are up 41% this week so far and are now at the highest in 14 years. Corn futures for May delivery surged 24.25 cents to $7.72 a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery rose 4.75 cents to $16.72.5 a bushel. Soy meal was up $9.10 to $462.50 a short ton, and soybean oil futures fell $1.43 to $0.7338. Well, the weekly soybean and grain exports sales have declined. Soybean sales last week were reported at 857,000 metric tons. That's down 31% from the previous week and 34% from the prior four-week average. An unnamed country, I just get a kick out of that, an unnamed country bought 345,900 tons. Egypt took 178,000 tons. Italy, 92,000 tons. Taiwan was in there for 69,400 tons, and Mexico, 63,000 tons from U.S. inventories, according to the government data. Exports for the week came in at 751,000 metric tons, and that's down 40% from week to week. Sales for delivery in 2022 and 23 marketing year starts on September 1st, total 1.39 million metric tons, as China bought 1.26 million metric tons, according to the Ag Department. Corn sales plunged 485,100 metric tons last week. That's down from 53% a week before and down 47% from the average. Japan was the biggest buyer, 320,000 tons. Mexico, 180,000 tons. Colombia was in there for 125,000 tons. And our neighbors to the north at Canada bought 34,000 tons. The total would have been higher, but unknown destinations canceled cargoes totaling 274,600 tons. Exports for the week was reported at 1.55 million metric tons, down 18% week to week. For the 22-23 marketing year, corn sales total now 222,800 metric tons. Wheat sales dropped 42% from the previous week, 300,000 metric tons. Bet that went up this week since they can't get any from them yahoos over there in Europe. The agency said total, however, was up 54% from the prior four-week average. Mexico, 90,000 metric tons. Japan, 66,000 tons. Taiwan took 56,000 tons. And there comes the Philippines in there in last place at 36,700 tons. Exports for the week total 364,800 tons, and that's down 33%. Sales of U.S. wheat for delivery in 2022-23 marketing year that starts on June 1st was at 69,800 tons, according to this USDA report that I got. Well, we won't go over any wintry mix because we're not going to have any, but it looks like we got some chance, a little prep, tonight. Just a little bit of moisture tonight. So not much, but critical fire weather conditions are expected across western central Oklahoma Panhandle, the western Texas Panhandle, and eastern Texas Panhandle, and western Oklahoma. Well, when I get back, we're going to – I got an interesting story that I read about a gentleman from Illinois, a professor, talking about how we could solve the wheat problem. Some of you probably already read this on one of your email updates you get overnight, but he's talking about let's plow up some CRP. And I'm sure President Biden is just rolling in the grave on that – or not on the grave, but rolling in his shoes on that one. He's – that'll hit his carbon deal pretty hard. But anyway, we'll be right back after this. Also, before I go, text in. The text line's open at 580-225-9697. Text in what the highest wheat price you've ever seen or sold wheat at. I'd like to know that. Anyway, 225-9697. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before, and your gears change, and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Their genetics work. They've got proof. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. Selling 100 18-month-old Red Angus Bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 p.m. B&L values low inputs with high efficiency, added pounds through genetic merit, and honest females that make it happen year after year. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. For catalog and videos, log on to blredangus.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, the temperature's actually dropped 1 degree. But anyway, it's still 69 degrees, 23-mile-an-hour winds out of south-southwest. Wind gusts up to 28 miles an hour. So, and there we go. We got that going on. I'll have you Long Ranger coming up shortly. Well, back to some interesting, it's a pretty good concept. Before we get started with that, though, I want to give a big shout-out to a beautiful lady over there at First National Bank and Trust. She has been, she's at Sayre now, but Jordan Skelton, she's been there a whole 8 years at the First National Bank. And congratulations. They did a good write-up. She said she is skilled in personal banking, a loan assistant, and as a teller. She recently transferred to our Sayre location We invite you to stop in and welcome Jordan to our Sayre branch. Well, congratulations, Jordan. I knew you'd always be a great banker. Maybe before I go on Social Security, you can loan me some money or something over there one of these days. But anyway, you got a good boss over there. And congratulations for your 8 years at the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. So anyway, there you go. She said she listens. We'll see if she's listening today. Anyway, so if the Biden administration wants to boost U.S. grain production in the wake of the Russians' invasion of Ukraine, it should open up the 22 million acre conservation reserve for crop production this year, said University of Illinois economist Scott Irwin on Wednesday. Grain prices have soared, with wheat hitting a 14-year high, on the possibility of Ukraine and Russia, major exporters of wheat and corn, being knocked out of the world market for months. The only policy lever that I can think of in the hands of the United States government is to open up the Conservation Reserve Program for cropping on a one-year emergency basis. Irwin wrote on social media, I realize a chunk cannot be easily put back into production, especially in just a month or two. Just change the rules on emergency basis so it can be cropped if a farmer wants to risk it this year. The practicalities of restoring idle land to production with the planting season on the horizon, it's already on the horizon, could limit a farmer response to a one-year opportunity, says ag economist Joe Klumber. It's about the only policy lever one could think of using. I'm not sure how much land you're actually going to get. Of course, a USDA spokesperson was not immediately available for comment. European agriculture ministers raised the idea of letting farmers put fallow land into protein crops during a meeting on Wednesday. The French Ag Cooperative said the waiving the EU land set-aside rules could increase crop acreages by 10 to 15% and boost wheat production this year. Russia and Ukraine grow 14% of the wheat in the world and account for 28% of the global wheat trade. Enrollment in the CRP is highest in the wheat-growing plains and the corn and soybean raising Midwest. Texas, Colorado, South Dakota, Kansas, and Iowa account for 9.6 million acres of the 22.1 million acres that are currently enrolled in the CRP, according to a USDA summary. Half the land in the CRP entered the programs as grasslands, and through a continuous enrollment option for high-priority projects such as windbreaks, filter strips, and on small-scale parcels, about 46% was accepted during the general enrollments for field and large tracts. The CRP was created in 1985 and pays landowners an annual rent in exchange for idling marginal land for 10 to, or 15 years. Owners are required to plant the land to vegetative cover. But an ongoing drought in the plains could discourage plantings there. And I'm sure they're talking about the northern Texas through the Texas Panhandle, western Oklahoma, and into western Kansas, because we are in a drought. But I see the supply shock as a wheat program problem first and a corn problem second, said Irwin in an email. Yet we need wheat acres first. This, of course, fits and is what is most available in the CRP. Ukraine and Russia grow a minor share, around 4% of the world's corn crop, but hold 17% of the export market. The United States is the world's largest corn grower and exporter. And there you have it. Speaking of the USDA, March 15th, right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. You need to get your ARC PLC decision made and get that signed up with your local FSA office in any of our counties and over in Texas Panhandle. Also, NAP insurance is on your grass is also due by March 15th. If I'm right, I think I'm right on that. Yeah, I think it is. Grass NAP on your grass is March 15th. It's right around the corner. You got 11 days, not including weekends. So get after it, get that all done, and we'll be, get that signed up. I got mine done way early. I'm already done. I don't remember if I got the NAP, but I'll check. Anyway, Uh-oh, my boss is back here. What do you want, boss? You want me to turn this red button on? Hi, Gabe.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Today. Not today. It's today. It's not even this morning anymore.
It's today in ag, boss.
Today in ag. That's exactly what. Today in ag, not this morning in ag.
How was your field trip yesterday?
It was pretty good. I had a good time going to call some ball games. But, you know, I was wondering, you were talking about FFA earlier. So it's your first year of FFA week. What was, here at the station.
First week?
First weekish. Yeah. So what are some things that you think about the kids in an FFA? Is there an advantage of being an FFA? Do you think that kids that are in FFA have a different understanding of different things? What are your thoughts about it?
There's a huge advantage in being in 4-H and FFA.
Yeah.
Especially in FFA is, number one, you get some shop experience that you probably wouldn't. If you were in a normal household, say you live in Elk City or Sarah, not out on the farm, you get some shop experience to learn how to weld or build stuff, just do stuff like that. And number two, the responsibility of caring for an animal every day, a show animal, is way harder than taking care of a herd of cows out there, because I can be late going to feed my cows, but you can't be late on your show. So it teaches them responsibilities, teaches them how to manage their time, and they still got to go to school.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's a lot of FFA kids that are in sports, and they go to school, and they play. They're multiple sport athletes. And they go to school. They got to do their homework. And
we got one from Hobart that was a singer, so he might be booking little gigs to go out and sing.
I'm telling you, I've seen FFA kids, and they manage time. A lot of them manage time good. And I'm not saying they're just better than any other kids, but I think there's some experiences there that being an FFA and ag and 4-H and all those things seems like it kind of prepares you a little bit more for some things. I know mechanically, if I wouldn't have had ag, I would have never learned to weld. I would have never learned to rebuild an engine or anything like that kind of stuff. I always did ag mech, I never did the other side of ag.
Well, you know, they got one thing that never crossed my mind until these kids come in here, and we had a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you did.
13 schools come through here. But the one thing that I could tell that was going on, especially not all, but mostly on the girl side, that they were shy before they got into FFA.
Yeah.
And FFA opened them up to be more sociable. And you could tell that. They walked in here. I mean, sure, you're a little gun shy being in the radio station anyway. Yeah. But they came out and said, it's learned. I've made friends that I normally – it made them come out of their shell.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's kind of a lost art these days. Of just meeting people, straight just meeting people instead of being
this.
On your phone and meeting them through some social thing, and all you have is this digital avatar that you know through the metaverse,
right?
Whatever that is.
you just spoke over my head. But I can't even pronounce it.
You know, these days it's just, just being able to get to go to convention. You know, kids, I've heard kids talk about convention every year. And they just love going to FFA convention, especially national.
I heard more of them bragging about going to these workshops, the state workshops that they do now, because they said that's what was breaking them out of their shell, meeting all these people there. Then they get to go to these state conventions and some of these national. And I didn't even, there wasn't enough time in these shows, but I wanted to see how many state FFA farmers we had that made the state deal and the chapter farmers. I didn't have time to cover it all.
Well, you had a lot to cover this week.
We had lots to cover, and I can tell you one thing. There wasn't a bad kid in none of these that come through here, this group. There wasn't a bad kid.
Well, come on, Jimmy. They're on their best behavior every time they come in here anyway. But they figured, overall, I think it's a pretty good, solid bunch of kids.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I think.
If 75% of the kids that are not in FFA are even close to these kids, we got a great future in front of us.
I think you're right. So, I think it's just FFA is a good. It's just a good area to be in.
Yep.
I think it's good.
Future farmers of America.
Yeah, they'll all. Hey, there's going to be a ton of Jimmy Clarks out there coming.
No, there's going to be a ton of Bandy Silks.
But a ton of
Bandy
Jancy Ripetoes is what.
Oh
what
yeah,
I'm telling you.
I mean, she's the most she's more popular than I am on my own show.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't take much. We've seen your golf swing.
Hey, hey, you can answer this question while you're here.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what channel will the Merritt Girls be playing on at 1 o'clock?
They'll be on 98.1 FM, and they'll also be on ParagonTV.com.
There you go. There's You'll be able your to watch answer, them. Sir.
Blake and, Amber are on the call today.
Oh, again?
Again, yeah.
Oh.
So Blake just called. He's up there getting set up right now, getting fired up, ready to go. And they'll be taking care of the call today on there. So it'll be good. It'll be good.
Well, somebody said Manny's just a big blow. So anyway, he's a blowhard. Anyway, people have questioned me on Messenger and on the text line.
Yeah.
Why some of these schools didn't get to come in.
Yeah.
And there was most all the schools in our area was invited. And if I didn't get a response, you know, it is what it is.
That's what it's going to take. And I think there is some schools that we ended up, you know, we extended. You started on Friday.
Yeah.
Went all the way through the next week. And we did have some weather issues. That week, and so we ended up extending out to Tuesday. So next year, we're just going to open it up. We're going to go it's going to be FFA weekend, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But we're gonna pack it all in. But we're gonna have a bunch of schools next year coming in and make sure that we've got the contest coming up next year.
Yeah,
ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready. Tell everybody.
Hey, well, the contest that Nathan had started a long time ago, and it was a couple of years ago. He had the Facebook contest. Whoever got whatever school got the most Facebook likes ended up winning the contest.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was a huge contest because, I mean, there was people from everywhere watching.
If our listeners will help me and Gabe design a brand for KECO for the Today in Ag program, we'll have some Today in Ag caps with the KECO brand on the hats next year for some prizes, maybe.
Jimmy, I don't really know much about brand. I know there's like the Rockin', there's a lot of different types, you know. But, I mean, how do you get four letters in a brand that you could fit on a, you know, decent size that looks nice? And so
and actually use on a cow.
I guess if you wanted to use one on a cow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess if you want to.
Because one of these days that brand will get it made, and I'll say, hey, boss, let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon.
So, but anyway, so.
Well, so you had a good time first year doing it with all the kids.
Oh, yeah, because I have the same maturity level as they do.
Well, yeah, you're still in about eighth. Probably, I'd put you in about 10th grade.
Yeah.
10th to 11th.
Yeah, I'm still a green hand.
So let me hear you say it.
What? The creed?
Yeah.
Let me Google it.
No, at least you went to Google.
I know agriculture's in it four times.
Agriculture's in it four times.
Yeah. I graduated in 1980. Come on. And I had to say it in 1976 when I was a freshman. No, I'm not going to remember it. Sorry.
I'd at least looked it up before I asked anybody, though.
What? Why?
Just so you could recite it.
I was supposed to be learning from these kids.
So that's why you're here, Jimmy Clark.
I know. It just caused commotion. And then here you come in and you stir the pot.
Oh, I'm not stirring any pots. I just think that if you're going to ask the question, you should know it.
I would have Googled it.
I know. We'll memorize it for next year.
They were doing good.
They were doing good.
They were under pressure. They were under some pressure.
Hey, I'll tell you, you come in here, you got lights on. You got mics in front of you.
Cameras all on.
You know, it's not just walking into, like, walking up to a speech contest, I'm sure, but.
In my studio, it's like walking into a wasp nest.
Yeah, that's exactly, I believe that.
Anyway, so that deal will be on
98.1 FM. That'll be the Merritt game. Boys and girls will be on today. It's back-to-back, 1:30 and 3. And you can also go on Paragon TV. Hammond will be playing today as well. And you can listen to Kennedy Walker make the call there on ParagonTV.com. Go to Warrior TV.
Cool.
Well, lots of basketball still going on. About to move into spring sports.
And lots of bull sales.
And lots of bull sales.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's a few already done, but there's still lots of – hey, if you need to know where your bull sale is next, just get your penny news.
Yeah, we've got a lot of bull sales in every week. We've got, I mean, listen, this is agriculture. Pick up the penny news. If you want some stuff, it's in there.
Did you give the girls a bonus for their great job of the FFA and the penny news?
I just walked in there and told them good job, so yes.
Oh, my God.
I know.
They did a great job. That was classy.
That was classy. I mean, it's every year. It's just you get used to stuff like that. Because when you get used to stuff, they're just so good at what they do. They're just really good.
Liz and Candace and Tara, they're just, they're
solid as it can. We can sit here and talk about them all day.
Oh, yeah, I know, and I got to take a break.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy.
All right, we'll be right back. That was my boss, Gabe, that's wanting to go play me in golf today, but his slice won't work in this wind very good, so I saved him the trouble by saying no. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, February 18th. 453 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 258, brought 226. 4 at 485, brought 190. 2 at 510, brought 174. 5 at 725, brought 158. 11 at 763, brought 136. 3 head of heifers at 302, brought 191. 2 at 393, brought 168. 7 at 484, brought 164. 11 at 524, brought 167. 10 at 650, brought 156. Butcher cows were 28 to 87. Butcher bulls, 80 to 115. Bred cows were 350 to 1525. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 12:30 p.m. Their feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 12:30 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, can't believe how rude my boss is. Comes in here and messes up my reading time because I know you guys love to hear me read. But I have your Long Ranger coming up after the next break, and it'll be here pretty quick. But first, some results from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday. They had their weekly calf sale. I still haven't got any texts in on the text line about what the highest priced wheat they've ever sold wheat for, or you've sold wheat for, or that you've seen since you started farming. I just need one. Just somebody send me in a text and make up a number. I don't care, but be in line. But yesterday at Woodward, they had 8,538 head in the sale barn. So there we go. 371 average weight steers were bringing anywhere from 230 to 231. 581 weights was bringing 177 to 198. 671 weight steers, 154 to 172. 162.46 was the average. 777 weights was bringing 142 to 157. 938 weights was bringing 135 to 141. And then there was quite a few actually in the 1,000-pound range, 136 to 138.85 on the steers. On the heifers, we have some 314 weights was bringing anywhere from 184 to 202. 431 average weights was bringing $1.68 to $1.86. 177.43 was their average. 526 weights was bringing anywhere from 156 to 179. 618 weights was bringing 145 to 161. And 818 weight heifers was bringing 133 to 140 with 136.88 being the average on nose. I got a text in. What did it say? Steven said he sold some wheat back in 2008 for over $10 a bushel. There we go. And got one. Oh, look, the text line's lighting up. All I had to do was mention it one more time. Anyway, thanks, Steven. Okay, here's what we got. Tomorrow, we have the bull sale over at Clinton at the Clinton Livestock Barn. We got it going on with the Davis Angus cattle. Jim, Debbie, Jordan, the whole bunch was over there. I seen yesterday they were moving their bulls over there, so people were probably already looking at them yesterday, or today, I mean. They were moving them over there for people to see today. You can go over there in the morning and look at them in the morning. Sale starts at 12:30. Be there. It's going to be a great bull sale. And then B&L Red Angus has got theirs coming up. And then we got the one coming up here in Elk City, and I'll discuss more about them. But tomorrow, make sure to go over and visit the Davis Angus Bull Sale at Clinton at 12:30. Got some great bulls coming in there. Well, speaking of bulls, each bull you purchase should be evaluated on the basis of what genetic potential he has to offer to your specific operation. And I think Mr. Jimmy Taylor has said this to me not once, not twice, but maybe a dozen times, exactly what he just said. To your special operation, but he doesn't say operation. He says cow. He knows what each one of his cows need. So he has, when he does those, and when he's AIing them, he's AIing them to a bull that needs, if he needs to do some changing with his cows, he does it. So he's pretty good about that. The purchase of bulls should be viewed as an investment in genetics. The profit potential of your operation is largely dependent on bull selection. Over time, 80 to 90% of the genetic change is the result of sire selection. So as we evaluate bulls, how do we determine what genetic values are important to our operation? Use these following steps that I'm getting ready to tell you to analyze your production system and establish breeding goals. You need to measure in order to identify what traits need to be improved. Here's some examples. Percent calf born unassisted, mature cow weight, percent pregnancy rate, percent calf crop wing, weaning weight per exposed female, yearling weight, carcass weight, quality, and yield grades. Now, consider your marketing program. Get that done. And then, are you selling wing calves? Yearlings or finished cattle or replacement heifers? Are you using bulls as terminal sires or selecting heifers to develop as herd replacements? Identify your selection goals. Once you have quantified levels of performance in your herd, establish your marketing plan and how you will use your bulls. It determines what traits are most economically important, what changes are needed there, where efficiencies can be gained. Selection pressure is a precious commodity and should be focused on genetic change and gives your operation the greatest profit potential. Evaluate the genetic values of your herd bulls that resulted in your current performance level. EPDs. You're going to hear me say that quite a bit more often on this show. EPDs and dollar values are comparable across time and geography. A registration paper has value. Virtually all beef registries have pedigree search option available online, which can be used free of charge to look up current genetic values of the bulls you have been using. These genetic values can be equated to your current levels of herd performance to guide future bull buying decisions. And this source was from the Oklahoma State University. And big amen on that last sentence, or on that last statement on the EPDs. You can have a commercial cow herd, but still buy a registered bull so you know what you're getting with your EPDs. Pretty simple deal. When I get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand, No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of a curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, March 1st, we sold 250 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, March the 3rd, we sold 8,538 calves and feeders for a total of 8,788 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 87 to 96. 10 cows bring 54 to 72. Bulls bring in 85 to 117.50. Good time to cull them older cows you don't like, bringing a lot of money. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 11.10 to 13.10. 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 10.25 to 10.35. 2 to 4 year old pairs, 14.60. Hunter steer cattle, 350 to 4-H steers, 195 to 231. 4 to 450, 193 to 210. 5 to 550, 178.5 to 199. 6 to 650, 164 to 195. 7 to 750 steers, 153 to 162. 8 to 850, 143 and a quarter to 150. 9 to 950, 135 to 141.5. 1,050 pound steers, 136.50 to 138.85. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 184 to 202. 4 to 450, 168 to 186. 5 to 550, 151 to 179. 6 to 650, 145 to 161. 7 to 750, 137 to 148.75. 8 to 850, 133 to 140. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 125 to 135. Crew worked very hard selling 8,788 finished to sell at 10:30 p.m. For this Tuesday, we will have our regular sale. Then at 1 p.m., we will have our Red Angus special sale. For that, we got 30 Red Angus bulls, 52 two-year-old pairs that are Red Angus. We got 15 blacks that got Red Angus calves that are two-year-old, plus several open heifers and bred heifers, few younger Red Angus cows. Give us a call. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, no joke about that deal up there at Woodward with those 30 Red Angus bulls and 50-something pairs. You need some red cattle. Next Tuesday would be a really good time at 1 o'clock to be up there at the Woodward Livestock Auction. All right, 71 degrees currently right now. Winds out of the southwest at 20 miles an hour. Wind gusts 30 miles an hour. Humidity is dropping. We're down to 52%. If you remember, we started out at 55 on the show. We are under a fire weather watch, so be careful out there. Check your change. Check your change. Everybody says, you say that all the time. Guess what started that fire yesterday? Speaking of that fire, I had a bunch of texts in that my show went down on the radio. It didn't go down on the streaming, but it did go down on the radio, and there was a reason. They had to shut the electricity down out there for just a little bit while those firefighters were fighting that fire here west of Elk City. Today, 74 for a high. Tonight, partly cloudy, 56 degrees. Tomorrow, breezy, 76. Winds will be about like today, if not a little bit higher. Tomorrow night, clear, 35 degrees. The wind switches out of the southwest to the northeast, so it's going to cool down. Sunday, 50% chance of rain showers, 53 for your high. Sunday night, 26 for a low. Monday, sunny and 48, but the wind's going to be blowing, so it's going to feel a little chilly out there. Monday night, 21. Tuesday, start warming back up a little bit with no wind at all. If any, it'll be out of the north at 53 degrees. Speaking, I had a cat. I had two calves being done. Had one this morning. Mama, everybody's fine. Got one to go. Looking at her, she'll probably be sometime next week. She must got in on a late cycle on the last bull. It might be the neighbor's bull. I don't know. But anyway, next week for her. So that's out of the way. And I got it basically done in 30 days. Calved out 29 heifers in 30 days. That's what I wanted to do. You know, we all got something going on with farming. We got a lot of decisions to make or have made some decisions. Input costs are ridiculous right now. And, you know, whether you do or you don't have irrigation, your input costs are still high. So you got to think about it, make some plans. And I know a lot of guys have been thinking really hard on what they need to do this year. I hear the soil sampling is way up this year. But this little story here is a county extension agent. I work in a region where the native soil pH hovers around 7. It's a great economic advantage to alfalfa growers because the crop demands a pH somewhere north of 6.5. Unlike my situation, many regions of the U.S. has acid soils. A major problem with low soil pH is aluminum toxicity. Oh, I got that right. Acidized subsoils, aluminum become more soluble and more available to plant uptake. Too much available aluminum has the effect of slowing and pruning alfalfa root growth. This in turn reduces the activity and ability of the bacteria to inhabit root molecules to fix nitrogen for the plant. Aluminum is best migrated by correcting a low soil pH with the application of agriculture lime, preferably 6 months to a year before alfalfa seeding is made. Gypsum may help too, and research has shown that even with the lime application, subsoil pH might remain low and the aluminum can still be an issue. To resolve the situation, gypsum applications may help. Gypsum, which is a calcium sulfate, won't raise the soil pH, but the high volume of calcium will displace the aluminum on the subsoil particles. This allows it to be leached below the rooting depths when enough moisture is available. Research from the University of Georgia showed the alfalfa root system increased 200% at a depth of 2.5 feet where gypsum had been applied. A subsoil deeper than 15 inches soil test is recommended to confirm if gypsum application is warranted to reduce potential aluminum issues with low pH and high aluminum availability. Toxicity is likely when the subsoil pH trends below 5.5. To ensure proper root growth, alfalfa needs moisture, an abundance of calcium at the root tip, and an absence of aluminum. The sulfate in gypsum binds and precipitates out the aluminum. Coupled with the added calcium, this enhances the subsoil rooting environment, especially in fields where soil pH has been low for extended periods of time. Gypsum applied alone with no impact on soil pH. It must be used in conjunction with agriculture lime and recommended fertilizer program. A well-drained site is also important for sustained alfalfa production, which is true regardless of the native soil pH. And that's what we did. We just applied 1 ton of gypsum on some soil that we were high in salt content down there. So we're trying to get our salt content down. So we applied 1 ton. It's going to take us about three years most, hopefully, to get our soil back in shape so we can put alfalfa back on our ground down by Granite. And caught us off guard. Was wondering why our alfalfa, you guys heard me talk about this, was wondering why alfalfa was going backwards, and it similar to this, just a little different substance going on there. But anyway, drought coverage. The drought coverage is not good, guys. Drought coverage now rivals 2012. Wheat belt and cattle country conditions continue to crumble. Drought cover in the continental U.S. grew by 2 points this week. If you haven't seen the drought map, look it up. Oklahoma, western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle pretty much looks the same. I seen an area in eastern Ouachita County that was actually backed up from a D3 to a D2. So, but other than that, that's the only change I noticed on there. But USDA meteorologist Brad Ripley says, when you step back and look at the broader picture, drought is still parked over 59% of the United States. That's the most since 2012. Dude, this is why I don't take phone-in calls, because I got all these friends that like to text in stuff to counter what I just said, and they don't even know what they're talking about. You don't even know how to fish, Brian Silk, so go back to fishing, learning how to do that. But anyway, while he has growing concerns for the state of the drought, he says our biggest problem sits with one major crop. By far, the wheat belt is the biggest concern, says Ripley. If you look at the crop conditions in areas where the crops are starting to actively grow, it's just absolutely terrible. Wheat conditions are showing the scars from little to no moisture. Just because it's greening up out there, guys, don't mean it's bueno. But anyway, Ripley says the story can be found in wheat conditions from Texas to Kansas, but also pasture conditions that continue to struggle from little to no rain. In Texas, you have 3/4 of the winter wheat crop rated in very poor condition, and 69% very poor to poor soil moisture in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, and at least 75% very short to short at the end of February. Some farmers say wheat on dry land acres hasn't even sprouted yet, as the crop is running out of time. We are into a showtime in South and Texas. Wheat is already heading out in far southern portion of the state. Statewide, I think 1/8 of the crop is reporting heading, and so it's time for growth. Plants are demanding moisture, and despite a few winter storms recently, a little bit of ice and a little bit of snow in Texas, it's so critically dry. Without any big change in the pattern, this will quickly spread northward into Kansas, Nebraska, and eventually the western Dakotas and Montana over the next few weeks. As the drought has gripped much of the West all year, the streak is historic. Ripley says drought has now covered more than 40% of the country for 75 straight weeks. That previous record from June 19 to 2012 through October of 2013 was 68 weeks, was by far the longest shot. The latest season drought outlook doesn't paint much hope for those areas either. It shows drought persisting and even intensifying through the end of May. Ripley says La Nina is lending no favors to the areas seeing the stubbornness of the drought. And there you have it. So anyway, not good news, but it's the truth. I'm going to hit you with the truth sometime. So anyway, and then maybe all my buddies will quit texting in and annoying me while I'm doing my show. I know that's why they do it. But anyway, you guys have a blessed weekend. Pray for some rain Sunday because we need it. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Have a great weekend.